Welcome back to Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford. Nathan Segura, Matt Wilhelm here in the beautiful Discount Drug Mart in Brunswick Hills. Come on out. Terrence West, the Browns leading rusher, the rookie running back, is here signing autographs with the fans. Everybody crowded around to see T. West. So come on out here to the Discount Drug Mart in Brunswick Hills. Jim Leonard will also be with us shortly here. We're going to go through our grades right now. And Matt, we're going to do it fairly quickly, I think, here. The Browns, 30-0 losers, Cincinnati. Obviously not the kind of game that they wanted to have in that one. Quarterback Johnny Manziel, 10 of 18, 80 yards, 0 touchdowns, 2 interceptions, and he had 5 carries for 13 yards.
Fail.
I don't think we need to get into this too much. Running back position, T. West, who is here, 5 carries for 23. It's a healthy 4.6 yards per carry average. Crow, 7 for 17. Crow also 2 catches for 10 yards. I don't think the backs had any chance in this game, so I'm not going to be as critical on them.
No, I'll say C-. Yeah. And for that reason, the lack of opportunities.
Lack of opportunity. The Browns had 5 first downs in the entire game, 2 via the penalty. So that was not a great offensive performance. Wide receivers, Gordon, 3 for 48. Benjamin, 1 for 9. Hawkins, 2 for 7. Gabriel, 1 for 2.
D minus?
I don't know if it's – you don't even know who to blame. Offensive line, I think, struggled. We're going to give
that
bet. So that's a great segment.
Yes.
There it is. Back
good.
Quickly. We want to move on from this. Nobody wants these kind of grades. You know, what I'd like to do – is give the Browns, like, an opportunity. You know, my dad was a teacher for a long time, still is a teacher at Moreau High School out in California. And, you know, when you love some of your students and they go out and they try and it doesn't work out, you give them, like, an opportunity for extra credit. So
sure.
I think we'll give the Browns an opportunity for some extra credit this week against Charlotte, in Charlotte against Carolina Panthers, to try to bring these grades back up.
Absolutely, and I think
isn't that the right thing to do? It's the holiday season.
It definitely is. You know, sense of giving,
Nathan, comes
from the heart. It's great.
But
I think also too is we would hope that these gentlemen in the locker room of the Cleveland Browns that have heart, that are competitors, that are professionals, need to finish what they started. And at this point, to kind of give up on this football season simply because you're not one of the 12, actually one of the 6. From the AFC to be represented for an opportunity to play for a Super Bowl championship. Again, I've said it. They've exceeded expectations, and they've surprised a lot of people. They've brought relevancy back to Cleveland when it comes to football. And I think that now, if I'm Marvin Lewis, if I'm John Harbaugh, or if I'm Mike Tomlin, you've got to answer legitimate questions about the Cleveland Browns every single week that you play them, because they are now a contender in your division, and they held for a very long time, and they just succumbed to some tough losses towards the end of their football season that put them behind the eight ball.
And if you could go back to T. West's hometown of Baltimore, beat the Ravens, you split with every team in the division this year. So that's certainly what the Browns are going to be looking to do. 216-578-0850, that's the way to join us here on this Tuesday. The Browns obviously looking to get better and turn these things around here, and we're going to certainly get that going against Carolina. On to Carolina, in the words of Bill Belichick. We've got right now Reggie in Youngstown. Reggie, welcome to the show.
How you doing? Good.
Good, hey, man. How are you?
I'm doing pretty good, you know, for the most part. Hey, fellas, I listened to what you guys were saying, and I respect your opinion, but I kind of disagree with a lot that y'all were saying in general and stuff. I think these last couple games, I think the Browns, to me, are probably just going out and get them a paycheck in general, man. I think that there's no, you know, it's the team, to me, is in disarray. I was listening this morning to what Jaws was saying that was on the earlier show this morning. And I agree with him, man, when he was saying about Hoya in general. And he's like one of the best ever to play that, you know, to play the game at that position. And like I said, you know, before, Hoya is a good quarterback, man. I think it was very wrong how they did that. If they were going to do that, they should have just let Hoya start, put him on a short leash. They had talked about it in other games, but instead they just went on and started, you know, that kid and stuff like that. And you see what the results were. I think that was very wrong. I'm hoping that next year that maybe Hoyer will go somewhere else and play, because I believe that he is a good quarterback. And just listening to what Jaw said just confirms the fact of how I feel about, you know, about him as a quarterback and the disarray. He didn't really say very much about Johnny. If you listen to what he was saying, I don't think he really thinks he's going to be very good too. And a couple other quarterbacks earlier this year said they didn't come right out and say it, but you can tell in a roundabout way that they wasn't too at all up on this cat, man. I just don't think he's going to be any good. He reminds me of Doug Flutie, and y'all see how Doug Flutie, he wasn't very good at all when he got in the pros. This kid is about the same size as he is and stuff, and it's just not going to work, fellas. It's not going to work. So I'll listen to you guys and see what you think.
All right. This is what I think. Listen, you can have your opinions about what I do on the radio, but my first time on the radio, I was not great. I'm sure I was not. I was not
right.
Good. You got to get better at something. And after one game, we're completely writing the book on Johnny Manziel as if he's been. It's over. Do people remember what Peyton Manning's rookie season was like?
Horrible.
Do people remember what Troy Aikman's rookie season
Horrible.
Was like? And those were seasons.
Yes.
Okay. Give this guy. The guy's played one game in the NFL, and was it good? No, it wasn't good.
But
he
a lot
to be
went
better.
Wrong around him, too.
Yes, there are a lot of things happened in that game. But for people to just all of a sudden be saying it's over for Johnny Manziel is ridiculous.
And also, too, I think
it's not over.
Reggie usually calls in and has a great take. And the one thing that I took offense to, more so than his pro-Hoyer take and his anti-Johnny take, is the fact of the competitors in that locker room. I think it's a stretch for him to say
absolutely
that 90% of the individuals in the locker room are upset and would take an obscene amount of offense to a comment like that from a fan.
You've been in a locker room. So if you were in San Diego and you were in the situation, you said your first year in San Diego wasn't great. Certainly as a rookie, what were you thinking?
I want an opportunity to prove myself. I want to go play. If everybody's going to be bad, I want my opportunity to go play and secure my future here in San Diego. And it's that competitive side that came out in me. And it wasn't by any means, it wasn't you just show up and go through the motions. You know, it's not like you're a telemarketer. You know, you've got to make your 50 calls and then you can leave for the day. You know, you're a pro. And I think for as young as this football team is too, and this is largely a developmental season with a rookie head coach, you know, and a lot of holes. You know,
and it's the best season the Browns have had in years already. I do think there's a lot of pride, and this team wants to win the next two, go 9-7. Obviously, that's the goal. If they can win one of the two, go 8-8, it'll be the first non-losing season since 2007. I think that is a very significant goal that is out there in front of this football team.
And I think what's been very hard for a lot of Browns fans to grasp is they fed into the playoff talk, and the playoff talk lasted from about the midpoint in the season until about 2 weeks ago, or actually one week ago,
Sunday.
You know, and they bought into that frenzy that is the playoffs. When you have to ask yourself, is it realistic for them to happen, you know, for it to happen? And we really thought it was for a while, you know, and again, entirely pushing past any threshold of what we thought this season would be with what we were stacked up against. Questions about the quarterback position and the backup, for that matter. Questions about a rookie head coach. Questions at running back. You know, questions on the offensive line, you know, with Betonio coming in. Questions with how are we going to play without Josh Gordon all year on defense.
The fact of the matter is this team is 7-7 that, as you said, first-year head coach, first-year general manager. You've got a team that had Josh Gordon, who was a Pro Bowler from last year, missed 10 games. Alex Mack, Pro Bowler from last year, has missed the majority of the season. Jordan Cameron has missed at least more than half of the season as well, Pro Bowler from last year. That's 3 or 4 on offense. You have unbelievable. You bring in good veterans who play well, but you still have had injuries to Carlos Dansby. You've had injuries to Tashaun Gibson. You've had 3 injuries along the defensive line. Now the teams have injuries. You've gotten significant contributions from a number of rookies, like Terrence West, who's with us right now at the Discount Drug Mart right out here in Brunswick Hills. This is a team that has, in many ways, exceeded expectations and has learned and gained a lot of valuable experience over the course of the season and grinded out. They have won ugly. They have had dramatic comebacks. They've showed heart. They've showed resolve. They were so close to knocking off the team that was the number one offense in the NFL, Indianapolis. Those are the games, though. They have figured out how to win some of these games, and they're going to be able to build on that going forward. To say the sky is falling is not true, and people would feel so different. I know it's funny because it ends at the same point, but if the Browns were 4-7 and won 3 in a row to get 7-7, people feel completely different than they feel right now, because they felt that they were on the precipice of getting there in the playoffs, and now they realize that the Browns are not. I think this team is making some very, very nice strides here. It's a young team. It's a hungry team. And I think we'll see over the last two games this team come out with a lot of fire, because there are a lot of guys who have a lot to prove and want these opportunities and will not take them for granted. So I would disagree strongly with Reggie to say this team is going to go out there and just collect a paycheck. I do not believe that is in the DNA of this locker room. And I don't think guys like Dante Whitner and Carlos Dansby would stand for that at all. All right, let's get to John in Rocky River. John, welcome to the show.
Hey, good morning or afternoon, fellas. Thank you very much for the call. Hey, a year ago, Nathan, about this time, I called and said, hey, this is a mess on there, and you gave the same spin. Talk about collecting a paycheck. Moe, the Browns pay you really well because you keep spending the same old stuff. These games were won with Hoyer in there. Now you're going to start again next year without Hoyer there. Him and Sanchez are the top two free agent quarterbacks, unless you want to go get that bust Cutler, who has two all-pro wide receivers and a stud running back. I don't know what you see, but I saw a guy last week that didn't belong on the field after 15 weeks, 7 months in this team, and it's just a joke. It was an owner's pick, and everyone has to suffer for it, and Pettine has to go out there like he's going to a funeral, and he has to say, yeah, Joe Thomas, Cameron, after the Colts loss, came out and said, Hoyer should be the quarterback. Well, we all saw why. Because they're in the locker room. They're at practice. These are all pros that you mentioned. And look at them. They're still saying, hey, Hoyer's the guy who should be the starter. And we're going to let him go. We're going to keep Manziel. And then we're going to need two quarterbacks.
I think there's a lot of valuation. I thank you, and I appreciate the personal affronts. Thank you for that. I think when you looked at it, first of all, it was not Jimmy Haslam's pick. That is categorically false. I know that for 100% fact. That is not true. As far as the quarterback situation goes, I thought Brian Hoyer was given every opportunity to be the starting quarterback of this team. The same arguments as people say that we're making for Johnny Manziel and allowances for him were made for Brian Hoyer. And in his final three games as a starter, he produced zero touchdowns and seven interceptions. And if you go back to that Buffalo game, you go back to that Indianapolis game, if he had performed better, or the offense had performed better in those games, the Browns probably win them. They were two great defensive efforts. Brian Hoyer played very well at the beginning of the season. And then I always wondered what would happen when teams got a lot of tape and if they studied him, if that would impact the level of his play. He's had injuries around him. He very well may get another shot somewhere. I think that Brian Hoyer is a tremendous student of the game. I think mentally, in terms of his preparation, he does as much as anybody in the NFL. I also think sometimes people, you know, there are guys in the NFL who give it all they got, and can you do it in the NFL? You just don't know until you try. And I think Brian Hoyer showed that at times he can be a very good quarterback. At times he cannot be a very good quarterback. And there are people who know a heck of a lot more about football than I do, like Brian Billick, who thinks he's like a backup quarterback. And there are a lot of teams that let him, 32 in fact, in the NFL, that allowed him to be an unsigned free agent on the street before the Browns gave him a look last year. It was a great story. I thought he did a lot of things very well for this team. But ultimately, you wouldn't be saying, if Brian Hoyer and this offense continued at the way it was at the beginning of the season, we wouldn't have these discussions, and the Browns would be 9-4, or, you know, 9-5, 9-6 at this point, and we wouldn't be talking about any of this anyway.
You're absolutely right, and I think it's, again, hindsight is 20/20, and I think that's the business that we're in today's world. The fact that we have a radio show that lets callers, you know, interact with us, or that they can tweet us or email, you know, their perspectives from sitting at home doing what they do best and watching football and what they do for a living, and that's what we get paid to do, is evaluate and be critical, and we're professionals in our own light. But there's not a coach or a GM. I guarantee you, if you interviewed all 32 GMs, there's a pick that they wish they could have changed, or a pick that they would have made, or a guy that they liked that they got talked out of by someone else, or a defensive coordinator that should have made a coverage call instead of a blitz call, or a blitz call instead of a coverage call. And there's decisions. And again, if you think that Coach Pettine sitting down with Farmer and Kyle Shanahan, or Jim O'Neill in this case, to evaluate who plays, actively participates in the game plan for this week, if you don't think that all 32 teams do that, you know, you're off your rocker. And that there's a reason why, is because Pettine doesn't want to be, he wants to say, I think,
and it was Mike Pettine's decision, by the way, to make Johnny Manziel starting quarterback.
Right. And again, what it took for that to happen is it took Kyle Shanahan to go, you know what, I think it's the right time. And if you recall, and you actually listen to the words coming out of Coach Pettine's mouth, it was a brief conversation, which what means
it was
the individuals in that room, it was unanimous, so much in the fact that it was quick, and they walked out, or they made decisions about Cundiff or another position and had moved on very quickly from the quarterback debate. So it wasn't one guy. So if you're going to be critical of Nathan or you're going to be critical of Coach Pettine, you've got to be critical of the entire organization, because I think Jimmy Haslam and everybody on down will own this pick and embrace Johnny and will give him the due process to show why they took him where he did and when it's appropriate for him. If he's not the future or he's not no longer a Cleveland Brown, they will wish him well, like we may do with Brian Hoyer this year.
Certainly we will find that out at the end of the season. When we come back, we will find out more from you, more of your opinions. That's for sure. 216-578-0850 still to come. Hopefully Terrence West will be joining us. We will have Jim Leonard here at the Discount Drug Mart in Brunswick Hills. We'll play a little after further review, hand out some more grades. All that more coming up on Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford.